Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I am so excited to be here with you today, Sydney, because we have a very special episode.
That's right, we do.
First off, it's Max Fun Drive. What does that mean, Sydney?
Well, as you probably already know, Maximum Fun is a listener-supported network. We count on you, our faithful trusty listeners, to help us keep making the stuff that you enjoy, that we love making, and we love making more of and making better for you. And your support helps us do that. So once a year, we try to do something a little special, a little different, while we also come to you and humbly ask to help us out. Whatever you can donate, we really appreciate. If you're already a member, thank you so much. If you're in a position to upgrade your membership, this is a great time. And if you have thought about it and are ready to take the plunge, this is the best time to join because we give you presents. We give you gifts.
Mm.
And what's better than presents, Justin?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I didn't expect that answer, actually.
Nothing's better than presents. Sid, I have such an exciting time today because this is going to be kind of an education mainly for you, but also for me. Your dad, yeah. My dad, gifted you for the holidays the Marvel Anatomy, I guess textbook would be the way I'd put it. It's written
that's a word you could use.
Mark Sumerak and Daniel Wallace with beautiful illustrations by Jonah Loeb. This is a book about how the anatomy of the Marvel Universe works. So mm-hmm. What I have done here is, you seem pretty smart about one kind of person. And what I have a book here is like lots of different kinds of people that maybe you could learn a bit more about.
Okay.
So you're ready in the field.
And by different kinds of people, you mean fictional.
Huh.
People.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So what do you think are the chances that increasing my knowledge in this specific area of medicine, I say, with a question mark.
Medicine.
What is the likelihood this will help me in my career or help a patient that I may care for in the future?
Nil. So what Great. I've done is I've put a random Fun. Number generator for page 18. That's where it stops being about the scrolls because who knows? And then it goes up to page 225. Which
being
is
about the what?
The scrolls. They're confusing. But the first one that has come up for us today is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel has...
I saw a little bit of that movie.
Yes, okay.
Not all of it, though.
Now, Captain Marvel was a U.S. Air Force pilot, and her name was Carol Danvers, and now she has a hybrid DNA, which mixed her and Kree, which are like anti-Skrulls, kind of, okay?
Are these aliens?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so you know that...
So she's half human and then half fictional alien creature that uh-huh. we have no... Like, that does not exist on this plane as far as we know. As far as we know.
Right.
Allowing for the possibility that there's life we are not aware of, mm-hmm. of which we are not aware.
Okay, so Captain Marvel's mother was a Kree soldier named Marielle. So this is all I'm going to tell you here. When you tell me how she shoot energy out of her hands... What I need you to tell me here is, Sid, how does she shoot energy out her hands?
Are you looking for me to hypothesize yep. scientifically?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Justin, I don't know that there's a. I mean, I guess the closest approximation would be, you know, when you like are wearing fuzzy socks and rub them on a carpet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a buildup of static electricity, like extra. Well, you got extra electrons floating around there.
Okay, interesting. Is that your best? That's your guess?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you had. I don't know how you would generate such an enormous buildup. And then I also don't know how any, like, you could direct that energy. Certainly not in something that you could project a distance from your body more than, I would think, like a couple millimeters.
Let me give it to you briefly.
Like when you accidentally shock somebody, when you go down the slide on the playground or you're jumping on the trampoline and you accidentally shock someone, or intentionally.
Carol Danvers has human DNA that is mixed with her mom's Kree soldier DNA that remained dormant, but there was exposure to psychomagnetronic waves that stimulated the polynucleotide bonds in her hybrid DNA to activate her latent cosmic abilities. Now, what are polynucleotide bonds?
They're just talking about all the places where her DNA is stuck together.
And
that, I mean, and like that activating those bonds, that doesn't mean anything.
That allows Captain Marvel to absorb ambient photons in the atmosphere and rechannel them, which allows her to fly around and shoot beams out of her hands.
So this is not static. These are photons. These are particles of light.
Yeah, she did. She used particles of light. So that one.
I was wrong.
I'm going to give you a pretty big F on that.
Be fair, I was trying to build off of something that was real.
So was I. Yeah, it's a real book. It's right in front of me. Now, I was about to give you a question about the Vision, and that doesn't seem fair because he's all machine, baby.
Yeah.
Unless you believe he has a soul. So let's talk about Angel. What do you know about Angel, Sid?
Angel Dumont Chouinard from Rent?
No. And before you say it, not the broody vampire Angel. Not that either.
Not that one either.
No. We're talking about Angel, the X-Man Angel.
I didn't know there was an X-Man called Angel. I've seen some X-Man films.
Okay. And you didn't see... I think he's Archangel later. Here's the spoiler. Like, I'm not really super deep into this stuff either. Like, my dad knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. I'm more of a sporto,
The last X-Man film I believe I saw is the one where they sort of, like, Jean Grey dies and they kind of allude to the idea that the Phoenix or whatever is coming, but then I never saw any movies after that, so I don't know what happens after that.
Okay, so...
Wolverine is around.
This is actually a great one, because Angel, as near as I could tell, Angel's big thing is he does fly with these big, beautiful wings. Okay.
So he has wings.
Big, beautiful wings, and he uses to fly around.
I mean, is that it? Is that his whole thing? Like, I mean, that's good. I'm not like minimizing the idea of like having wings.
Like,
you'd
like to have wings?
Yeah, I would love to have wings. I think that'd be great. Be
sweet, sweet.
But is that, I mean, does he have any other?
Good hearing.
Nuh-uh.
No, healing. I misread.
Okay. I was going to say that's
what an awkward combo that would be. He soars above the sky far away so he can't hear anything. But if he was on the ground, he would be hearing like wild. Like, real. No.
Heal himself or others?
No, himself.
Oh.
Himself.
I find that a very disappointing power. Now, if you could use it to heal others, that's intriguing to me.
Oh, here she goes. Okay, Sydney. All right, we get it.
I'm just saying if he's called Angel.
You already have the power to heal.
Well, yes, but I was not born with it.
So here's what I want to talk to you about. Angel can fly, okay?
Okay.
But that Angel is a mutant, which you is.
I understand the concept of X-Man is that X-Men, X-People.
Thank
Why are
you.
They men?
X-Factor. That's the one with Simon Cowell. Go on.
The concept is that like these are just like natural consequences of evolution, right?
Yes, they are Homo superior, the next state in human evolution.
So this is just what would happen. We just keep evolving, and like in theory,
yes,
a guy with great hearing and wings,
healing.
Or maybe healing and wings. Except for there's the thing where Wolverine's claws were put into him or something, right? Like there's other stuff though, right?
So here's what I want. Okay. Angel has bought, because this is a biological adaptation.
Right.
Angel has biological adaptations that he's had to have to make this incredible flight possible.
Okay.
I'm looking at 4 different adaptations.
Sure.
So talk to me about what you think some of the mutagenetic.
Well, I mean, he grew wings.
Wings, surprisingly, ain't part of it. I mean, wings is part of it, right?
Yeah, like wings must be part of it. I'm assuming it has something to do with like...
4 different things. It's not it.
Okay. Well, one would have to do with oxygen and your ability to breathe in different environments, depending on how high he can fly.
Stop right there. The alveoli.
Mm-hmm. Little grape-like clusters of air sacs in the lungs.
In Angel's lungs, optimize oxygen intake, allowing him to soar at high speeds and elevations.
Mm.
So you were right about that one.
Yeah, I figured there'd be something there.
Okay, what else? The oxygen you got. That's stone cold.
Is temperature part of it?
Well, possibly.
Because it's cold up there.
Angel's
muscle
mass
really cold up
is considerably more dense than other humans of his size, and any presence of fatty tissue is negligible. So, no, I mean, I guess that's not.
No, that would be bad.
No, you need the chub. Trust me, folks.
I mean, to support flying, you would have to have a different musculature, right? Because, like, he has to not, I mean, and the wings aren't enough to lift. Like, the whole body has to, otherwise he would just sort of hang in the air by his wings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, you would have to have a different musculature so that you could, like, I'm assuming he flies flat out. He doesn't just, like, hang there.
No, I mean, I bet he could if he'd be really focused on it, but I bet it's not easy, you know,
right.
The wings.
Yeah.
What about
vision? Is his eyesight improved since he has, like, if he flies fast?
The pectin oculi, a comb-like configuration of blood vessels within the vitreous body of the avian eye, is known to enhance sight in some specimens. So he's got one of them, I guess.
One? Is it a brain thing, or is it an eye thing? Let's hope for two.
Okay, Sydney, one more. This one's right out there.
He doesn't poop?
He doesn't poop. That's on the sheet in big letters. I wrote that in marker. He doesn't poop. Now, think Emily Mortimer on 30 Rock. Jack's girlfriend for
a time. She had the avian bone thing.
He has avian bones.
So his bones are really brittle?
Well, probably not brittle. That would be
the made-up thing on 30 Rock is that she had, brittle bones.
So he had a cross-section of one of Angel's bones, and I can show you this picture now because you've guessed all these. The cross-section shows his hollow inner structure, which reduces his weight for greater flight performance. So it's hollow inside. I guess he don't got no marrow. We need that,
say,
don't we?
Yeah, how does he generate new blood cells?
Probably from the not pooping. Maybe he turns the poop into blood cells.
I don't think that him not pooping is part of it. I think you made that up.
Sydney, I'm going to get a new character up for you. Can you tell us about some of the gifts that people can expect to get if they join Maximum Fun during this special time of year?
I will tell everybody. There's a lot. We could just, if you pick any more X-Men's, X-Peoples, X-whatevers, there's a lot you could say about their concept of the way evolution works. But just, that's a side note.
Okay. Great.
So first of all, Justin, as you mentioned, there are gifts right now if you upgrade your membership to Maximum Fun, if you join Maximum Fun. This is the time because at each level, we give you something different. At $5 a month, you get over 500 hours of bonus content.
500 hours? Are you kidding me?
No. Every show on the network, every year, different bonus episode, and it's all there. Not just this year's, not just last year's, not next year's yet, because we haven't made it yet, but it will get there. That's just at $5. At $10, you get the bonus content. So you get the level before that, plus you get 37 reusable stickers and a Letterpress Max Fun membership card. Our artist, Olivia Fields, illustrated 37 gorgeous restickable stickers that represent every show on the network. So you can choose your favorite. These high quality, low commitment stickers. You can stick them and unstick them, which is great. I know, especially in our family, our kids love stickers and they want to put them on everything. And I love stickers and I want to put them on everything. And, you know, you take all this time to cover your laptop or whatever with stickers, and then maybe you got to get a new one eventually. And what do you do? So they're scratch proof, they're waterproof, they're UV protected for outdoor use. And of course, you get your own Letterpress MaxFun membership card. At $20 a month, you get everything I've already mentioned, plus the MaxFun Culinary Kit, which is a kit that includes the MaxFun Family Cookbook, designed by Tom Deja, and features recipes from all your favorite MaxFun shows, including Justin. You have a recipe in there, don't you?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got our chili recipe that we did. There's a French onion soup recipe in there. It's fantastic.
And a jar of bespoke Maximum Fun flavor spice blend. And then, of course, if you're not, if cooking isn't your thing, if you don't want a culinary kit, you can opt for the eco-friendly cap with an adjustable back with the MaxFun Drive Rocket logo embroidered right there on it. And there are other levels, 35, 50, and above, that have other prizes associated with them. But that's just a taste of what you can get or upgrade now.
Well, that is fantastic.
And what's that website where you can do that again, Justin?
That's MaximumFun.org/join.
That's right.
Get on it. Don't wait. This is your moment. Let's get it done. I got a quickie for you, Sid.
I saw you giggling.
Yeah, because the random number generator did give me spider ham. So I just really want to very quickly.
Oh, no. Now we're getting into veterinary medicine and fictional creatures.
This is like more of a trivia thing, but we all know how Spider-Man became Spider-Man.
Yeah, he got bitten by a spider.
Yep. How did Spider-Ham become Spider-Ham? This is a biological question.
I mean, I feel like a pig got bitten by a spider is the obvious answer here.
Is that your final answer? It's Spider-Ham. He's really zany. He's so zany. He's John Mulaney. Spider-Ham.
But it's not a pig that got bitten by a spider?
It's not a pig that got bitten by a spider.
Is it a...
Say it. Don't think about it. Just say it.
A spider that got bitten by a pig?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Spider-Ham was a spider that got bitten by a radioactive pig.
Okay. I don't even think, pigs don't, they probably don't bite spiders. They probably just, like, eat them.
I did want to get into Spider-Man, friend of the show.
But wait.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham is not a spider that got bitten by a pig.
Spider-Ham's a spider that got bitten by a radioactive pig.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, you're, for real?
For real.
For real, though?
For real. That's Spider-Ham's deal. Peter Porker.
Okay. Moving on. I will not entertain this.
It's
yeah,
his
no.
Name.
I understand
his Christian name.
Why are we assuming any religious affiliation
yeah,
for this?
Yeah, that's right. He's a outspoken atheist. okay. Let's talk about our friend Spider-Man. You love him, I love him, friend of the show.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love this great spider? You know Spider-Man's abilities, but what I'd love to hear from you is how's he do it? You know, how do you think, what are some of the adaptations that Spider-Man has had to make in his body to get some of his incredible abilities? Let's start with some of his more basic ones, the swinging and punching.
Well, so the way that it looks in the like movie representations, and I don't know if I've read any comic books.
Ever?
Well, no, I've read every Archie ever written, but I don't know if I've read Spider-Man comics. I'm sure I have perused one or something, but in terms of my understanding of what happens when Peter Parker gets...
I used to be in Straczynski's run on Amazing Spider-Man, but that's all I've ever read.
I think I read some of that too, but I don't remember. Anyway, my point is, so the spider bites him, and it's like a special spider because they're doing...
It's a chosen experiments. Blessed spider.
Well, it's not just that. Like, they're doing stuff to it in the lab. They have done things to the spider to make it a special spider.
Is the word radioactive going to come up at some point?
Okay.
Is
that all they did? They just exposed it to radiation?
Uh-huh. It's a radioactive spider.
Okay.
In some tellings of the story, the spiders themselves have been sort of whatevered to make it possible for that. Like, they've already been, like, tweaking with it, and then they got hit by the radioactivity.
That's what I mean. It looks like in the movie, that's what it looks like, is that the spiders intentionally are being exposed.
Sorry, in the movie. Like, when you say the movie, can you possibly drill that, like, the movie?
I'm remembering from the first Tobey Maguire one that I saw.
Sure, okay.
When he gets bitten.
Cider House Rules.
So... I feel like they try to give you the impression that somehow the spider is doing like gene therapy, like that we're actually introducing DNA into Peter Parker's cells.
Okay.
And like his DNA is combining with spider DNA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that is the impression they're giving us.
Yes, for
which
sure.
is, I would say the idea that the spider does this is problematic at best, but we'll allow for
it that. Is problematic. What happened to consent? Like, just ask if you're going to bite somebody.
Well, like, I mean, I wish, like, if we could just give somebody, if we could change somebody's entire DNA just by having them, like, bitten by a spider.
You didn't have this problem with Carol Danvers and her Kree mother. Hmm, interesting.
Well, I mean, I feel like that with that, we're dealing with an alien species that I do not have any proof exists currently. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying, as far as we know, they don't, right?
Yeah.
And... with, like, the idea of gene therapy, the idea of, like, trying to change someone's DNA medicinally is not, I mean, we are trying to figure that out, right? Like, we are working on that.
Just, like, you're stalling to keep from telling me how Spider-Man be so strong.
Okay, so because his DNA is now combined with a spider's DNA, he adapts properties of a spider.
You're rephrasing the sentence. I want to know how he's so strong. Like, what biologically has changed in Spider-Man to make him so strong and able to spin and swing around?
His muscles are stronger.
His muscles are tightly layered, increasing his strength without adding additional bulk to his frame.
Right. It's lean. He's lean,
yes,
and tough.
That's the strength.
Yeah.
But what about the, you know?
He can move quickly.
Quickly, but also, like, the flexibility. I mean, he's bending.
Right.
Oh, he's bending all around.
Right. So does he get more joints?
Ew, gross, no. An elevated level of highly elasticized sinew is present in Spider-Man's musculature. Is that anything?
Well, I mean, you would still need another joint or something in there. Or something, yeah, something has to happen to the joints to give them more laxity in a way that is also like laxity so that they move more, but then can spring back into place without causing damage, mm-hmm. which is more than just like the muscle fibers.
Do you know about how his spider sense works?
I mean, they make it look like it's magical.
Some debate about that, actually, here. It is undetermined if the neural activity generated by his spider sense is precognitive in nature or merely a heightened response to subtle environmental changes.
So he can sense, like, temperature and pressure and smell and things like that that we can't necessarily sense.
Yes, but how? Low-grade multidirectional pulses of neuroelectrical current in his brain give him a tingling sensation, which is the spidey sense that we kind of know.
Now, yeah, it's just brain activity.
Now, this is the worst thing. How he climb on walls?
They make it look like he gets little hair-like projections that come out of his fingers, and I'm assuming his feet, and then make him sticky.
So we don't exactly know this. There are several hypotheses.
It's not like surface tension, like with like geckos and stuff.
One is that there are. Can you pronounce this word for me? S-E-T-A-E? Setae? I don't know.
Setae?
Little hair-like things,
right,
on his hands and feet that let him cling to surfaces. That is one. But they could get through the fabric of his costume.
Right.
Okay. An alternate hypothesis, it could be that Spider-Man is able to consciously control the interatomic attraction between molecular boundary layers. In other words, it's possible he creates a bond between his body's bioelectrical aura and a targeted surface on a subatomic level, granting him the ability to walk on walls.
This is nothing.
Two contrasting theories here. You have to, I guess, Sydney thinks it's the hair-like thing. Thank you, Dr. McElroy, for your part of that. I do wish you had more thoroughly considered the opposition's You know, just because it's outside of your field doesn't mean it's nothing.
If it's the hair-like thing, I think the costume is the most impressive part of that, that it can, like, withstand all the tiny little holes being poked in it, and then immediately, like, it's a sort of adaptable fabric.
Good costume. Right? No argument there.
You didn't talk about whether or not he shoots silk out of his wrists.
I mean, according to this book takes a hard line that the web shooters are mechanical. So I didn't want to talk to you about those because it's a mechanical invention.
I said silk, which is like a silkworm. I didn't really mean that. I meant webs.
You know, they're silk-like.
Yeah.
There's some.
I think that the idea that he actually would shoot them out of his body would be a lot harder to
think about.
In many ways.
To deal with, to exist with in the world.
Yeah.
I agreed.
I think although the web shooters stress me out.
Why did the web shooters stress you out?
Because they could run out at any time.
Sydney, talk to me about the Max Fun Drive. If I go to MaximumFun.org/join and I pledge $5, $10, $20 a month, where is my money going to?
Your money is going in part directly to the shows you love. That's one wonderful thing about Maximum Fun.
The majority.
Fun. Yes. The majority of the money you are donating goes directly to the creators that make the shows that you listen to. You get to choose the shows you listen to, the shows that you want to support and want to keep existing and making more and making better shows for you to enjoy. Part of the money goes to Maximum Fun, our network, to support all of our artistic endeavors and to keep us running. But the majority of money that you can donate when you become a member and join Maximum Fun goes directly to the creators that, I was going to say love, but maybe that's too much, that you enjoy, that you appreciate.
If you've been listening to our shows and you haven't been able to be involved, maybe your financial situation has changed, maybe you start listening to some new shows, whatever, you can start a new membership for just $5 a month and you're going to get access to lots of bonus content. I mean, we've got tons of episodes of Sawbones on there that you've never heard before. There's videos. All the shows in the network are putting up stuff on there. And if you can do $10 a month, we've got those reusable stickers designed by Olivia Fields, which are beautiful. And the culinary kit at $20 a month that has the spice blend and the Max Fun family cookbook. But the real thing you're doing is supporting great stuff. And we are only able to make these shows and spend as much time and energy on them as we do because you are so kind to support us.
We really appreciate it. We've been able to do more and upgrade the sound and the quality of what we can put out to you to spend more time on researching and creating better shows, we hope. So it goes directly to help us make the stuff that we think you like.
Now, speaking of stuff I think you'll like, Sydney, MaximumFun.org/join is that address, by the way. Please take a moment and go there. Oh, we got a whole podcast on there. Fast and Furious and Justin and Sydney.
Oh, that's right. On the bonus content.
On the bonus content, we've got our Fast and Furious exploration, meditation on Fast and Furious. Okay.
It's about family.
It's about family, really. Okay, our last selection for today, Sydney.
Okay.
On this series. And please let us know if you enjoy this wonderful series, because I'd love to keep quizzing my wife about fantasy biology.
I don't think this is the only book like this that your dad has gotten me.
Probably.
I think I have other like fictional universe.
Yeah.
Anatomy.
Yeah. If you got
books.
One, P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia 25706. Send it our way. We're gonna talk about the Hulk. The Hulk. You know him?
Yeah. Green guy.
Green guy, yes. We know the Hulk smash, right? But how he smash? He starts out like a nerd like you, but then he becomes the Hulk, right? Like
yeah.
me. And so just of the options of here, well, he's all smart and stuff, and then he gets all like beefy. And,
yeah, but you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Let's speak on that. I want you to walk me through. I have a transformational path here.
Okay.
How he goes from being a sort of a nerdy wimp, like some people, and then a big beefcake like others.
Right. I don't know that I could come up with a plausible, like, actual. I mean, because this is a physical
series of reactions.
Well, yeah, but like this is a, like his body increases in size.
You're getting way ahead of yourself. You already know how it starts because you just told me.
Right, he gets angry.
Okay, so what is that? Speak on that.
So he gets angry. And I mean, I guess what we're talking about is like a sympathetic nervous system reaction, like a fight or flight sort of reaction that starts happening.
Correct.
With
anger and fear are interpreted by the amygdala. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
Which then stimulates the hypothalamus, it says here, to actuate hormone release from the pituitary and adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So right. I understand all this.
So what happens in those adrenal glands?
So you're going to get some adrenaline, some epinephrine is going to be released, which is going to stimulate blood flow and pupillary size. It has digestive tract effects.
Yeah, he immediately poops his pants every time he turns.
No, opposite.
He immediately gets constipated?
You need the parasympathetic nervous system to do all that stuff. No, like all the stuff that happens when you're about ready to fight somebody, you know, your heart rate goes up, your breathing quickens, you get more blood flow to your muscles. So if you need to like run or punch or jump or whatever.
So the adrenal glands secrete elevated levels of gamma-infused adrenaline into Banner's heart.
Okay, see, this gamma-infused is where things start to go off the rails.
Well, yeah, there had to be something, Sydney.
Right, because he creates matter.
Right. He doesn't actually...
Matter is created. When you watch the Hulk transform, he gets bigger. Where is that matter coming from?
Well, gamma proteins activate in the bloodstream and are dispersed to cells throughout Banner's body initiating transmutation.
But that's not something that can happen and unhappen, and it doesn't happen that... So, okay, in order for this to make any sort of scientific sense, he is not creating matter. All structures are just being enlarged.
And so
each skin cell has to get bigger,
right,
as opposed to more to stretch over the increased muscle mass and
gamma
increased
proteins,
bone density. His head gets bigger.
You're getting this. Gamma proteins bond with cells and change their hue. Muscle fibers rapidly expand.
That just means they make them green, hon.
Muscle fibers rapidly expand, drawing additional mass from an extra-dimensional source. I mean, it's right there.
You
just got to draw from an extra-dimensional source.
That's not fair. So, no. See, if they wanted it to make biological sense, you just have to say each individual structure, still, if it gets bigger, if it increases in size, it has to be filled with something, air, fluid, or actual matter, or like particles of matter.
What if he was just a big waterbed of a man, squishing around?
That's what I imagine that the Hulk is, like,
Hulk
with each step,
squish,
like, squish, squish, squish. I like the Hulk best when he's smart and strong.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
a little bit like Mark Ruffalo? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like all that.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. One last plug, MaximumFun.org/join. We only do this once a year, and it really makes the whole thing possible. If you like our shows, if you like the work we do, if you think the stuff we do on Sawbones is important, not this episode, obviously, but a lot of the episodes are worthwhile and important. Please show that with your support. Really appreciate it. We have the gifts, but the main thing is just helping us keep making stuff. That is going to do it for us for this week. Thanks to the taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.